Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You are listening to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network. This is Secrets Revealed. Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish. Today is Tuesday, October 25th of 2022. We're talking about the 144,000 First Fruits Prophecy. And in October of this year, here on Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish, we have analysis and discussion of the 144,000 First Fruits Prophecy with me, Dr. Nicole, your Book of Revelation research scientist. These analyses and discussions are happening live on PGN on Sundays at 12 noon Central Time and Tuesdays at 4 p.m. Central Time. I invite you to share your perspective, present a prayer request, or pose a question about the Book of Revelation during our live broadcast. You can also text in your question 24/7. Text in your question about the Book of Revelation to 1-214-505-8719. That's 1-214-505-8719. If you want to call live during our show, the PGN phone number is 1-319-527-6027. That's 1-319-527-6027. Today we're talking about secrets in the Book of Revelation. If you were on your way to a destination, and that destination was hidden, you would need a way to reveal the path to finding it. You would need light so that the path to that destination would be illuminated, so that you wouldn't be in darkness. And as we move forward at the end of the age, what are we moving towards? The government of Jesus Christ. There are events in our future described in the Book of Revelation, which is primarily a series of prophetic reports, statements of prophecy that focus either primarily or exclusively on the Great Tribulation. By my analysis, I believe that there are 12 statements of prophecy in the Book of Revelation, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 5 and the seven seals prophecy, and ending with verse 5 of chapter 22. That's the conclusion of the New Earth prophecy. And in 2023, here on PGN, we're going from start to finish with the statements of prophecy in the Book of Revelation. So I invite you to make plans now. So you might say, well, I don't have sufficient time to devote to study specifically on the Book of Revelation in the way that I want to. Simply by listening to the scripture as it is read and discussed every week here on PGN, scripture specifically from the Book of Revelation. We will go from start to finish, starting with the seven seals prophecy in January of 2023. Every show, every Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish, every time this program, this ministry program, this live podcast airs, we will be focusing on the Seven Seals prophecy in January of 2023. Then we're going to the Seven Trumpets prophecy in February. Then we're going in March to the next prophecy, the 1,260 days prophecy about what specifically happens to Israel during the Great Tribulation. Then we're going to the 666 Antichrist prophecy. When? In April. And then after April of 2023's discussions on the 666 Antichrist prophecy, we will go right into focusing on the next prophecy in the book of Revelation. That's the fifth statement of prophecy. That is the 144,000 first fruits prophecy, which we'll be talking about today. And then in June of next year, we'll talk about the earth reaped prophecy. We'll continue with the seven plagues prophecy. There are seven final plagues that will be unleashed on this earth before the second coming of Jesus Christ. We'll be talking about what they are and when they are coming. In August of 2023, we'll be talking about the harlot church, the purple and scarlet prophecy. We'll be talking about Mystery Babylon. And in September, we'll talk about the marriage supper prophecy. In October, the millennial reign prophecy. In November of 2023, the dead judged prophecy, focusing on the great white throne judgment. And finally, in the Christmas season, in December of 2023, every show on PGN for Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation, from start to finish will be about the New Earth prophecy. And so in this way, friends, truth seeker family, if you have a heart to know the prophecies in the Book of Revelation, you will hear all of them. You will learn each prophecy and understand it, because you'll hear those scriptures, analysis, and discussion over and over again. So it's one thing to hear something and to understand it in the moment. It's another thing to learn by repetition. What do I mean by that? When we hear information apply multiple ways at different points in time, and the learning experts tell us we need seven touches with some piece of information for it to not only go into our long-term memory, but to allow us to have the ability to later retrieve that information on demand, at will, when we want to recall that information. And so if we talk about, for example, the Seven Seals prophecy on Sunday, and then you hear it again on Tuesday, and then we have another discussion the following Sunday, and then we do that two times a week in a singular month, you're going to get your seven touches. You're going to get your seven opportunities to hear the Word of God, discussion and analysis, the actual scripture itself as well. And so that builds a storehouse, a repository of information, not worldly information, but God's wisdom. Accurate reports about your future and my future, as reported from the one who knows the end from the beginning. And so I'm excited about what God is doing with PGN and what God is doing on this broadcast. There's been a lot of talk. If you haven't had a chance to listen to Prophet Randy, he has some awesome revelation that God's been giving him about the Antichrist and the coming one world government, about financial systems. I invite you to tune in, friend. If you haven't had a chance to listen, please go to the archive. There were some programs in September of 2022 here on PGN that will knock your socks off. I've never heard anything like it anyplace else. If you could go back and listen to the programs on PGN, we had one here September 4th. We talked about the 666 Antichrist prophecy. Prophet Randy talked about the Antichrist on Thursday. I believe it was Thursday, September 8th, and Monday, September 12th. Those three programs in a row, just really something very unusual. Only God could orchestrate it. So let's continue today. We are talking about the 666 Antichrist prophecy here on PGN, and now we're getting to the 144,000 first fruits prophecy. There's a mistaken belief that the church is not mentioned in the book of Revelation, and that is not true. Over and over again, we see instructions for the church, information about what happens to the saints during the Great Tribulation period. On Sunday, we looked at some of those scriptures in detail. I believe we also did last Tuesday. Today, I want to show you a pattern that exists in the book of Revelation, and it has to do with God talking about biological Israel and then the wild olive branch that was grafted in. Biological Israel was first to hear and receive the word of God. Who's biological Israel? Abraham. His descendant, he begat Isaac, who begat Jacob. And Jacob, what about his descendants? Well, his descendants were 12 sons. And those 12 sons make up what we know today as the 12 tribes of Israel. In the Bible, let us see instances where God talks about the Gentiles, those of us from many nations. So all of the nations beyond Israel, everything that happened after the Jews learned of Jesus Christ and received him, apostles were assigned to the Gentiles. And so in this way, salvation has come to both the Jews and the Gentiles. Now let's talk about that salvation and how it's described in the book of Revelation. In the seven seals prophecy, and then we're going to the 144,000 first fruits prophecy, but I want to show you this pattern that exists. We're talking about the book of Revelation, but we see it in the Bible in many places. So in the book of Revelation, in the seven seals prophecy, talking about salvation, in verse 9 of chapter 7, it says, in part, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. And then continuing on, in verse 13, John is speaking, John the Revelator, and he says to us, the readers of the book of Revelation, then one of the 24 elders asked me, who are these who are clothed in white? Where did they come from? And I said to him, sir, you are the one who knows. Then he said to me, these are the ones who died in the great tribulation. Let's hear that again. So John is hearing from one of the 24 elders. When does this happen? When he's caught up to heaven, when he's given these prophecies. And what does the elder say to him? Quote, these are the ones who died in the great tribulation. It's no way possible that the church is not here during the great tribulation if there are ones from the church who die in the great tribulation. Now, this is not my opinion. This is what the word of God says. Let's continue in the scripture. chapter 7, verse 14. These are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. And then, talking about those who died in the great tribulation, well, where were they from? We look earlier in verse 9 of the same chapter, when describing these who died during the great tribulation, this is how John describes them in verse 9. After this, what's this? So after John sees biological Israel, and we'll talk about that part, but now we're talking about the Gentiles, everyone beyond biological Israel, with respect to what happens to those who are in Christ during the great tribulation. That's what we're talking about here. So during the great tribulation, what happens to the peoples of the earth? We can think of peoples as being in three groups: biological Israel, who will be saved. And what do you mean biological Israel will be saved? In Romans chapter 11, it says, "So I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud about yourselves. Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ. And so all Israel will be saved. As the scriptures say, the one who rescues will come from Jerusalem, and he will turn Israel away from ungodliness." So we're talking about here when the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ. That happens during the Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation is followed by the wrath of God, which culminates in the Battle of Armageddon. So when does the full number of Gentiles come in? It happens before the return of Jesus Christ. That happens during the period of the Great Tribulation. So that's the period we're talking about. The book of Revelation has 12 prophecies, and 7 focus either exclusively or primarily on that specific period. Okay, so let's see what this prophecy, the seven seals prophecy, is saying. So John talks about those who died during the great tribulation. The elder tells him that. He said in verse 14, "These are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white." Okay, so some people died during the Great Tribulation. Now they're wearing robes that are white. These are people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. These are individuals who are now members of the royal race. Let's hear how they were described as John first saw them in verse 9 in chapter 7. John says, "After this I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb." Now, what's every nation? Every nation is every nation, all nations. And to make sure that we're clear, it says every nation as well as every people and language. So these are those individuals who are in Christ beyond biological Israel. And so some people say, well, in the book of Revelation, the church isn't mentioned. Yes, we are. We're right here, among other places. Now you say, well, maybe this is talking about Israel. No, no, no. Let's look at the rest of what appears in these verses. So John said, after this I saw a vast crowd. So there was something he saw first, and what he saw second was a crowd of people too great to count from every nation. So that's the church, friend. And we heard later in this same chapter that these individuals from every nation who are in Christ die during the Great Tribulation. So it's no way possible that the church was raptured out before the Great Tribulation if there are those who are in Christ who die during the Great Tribulation. It has to be one or the other. And the Bible does not contradict itself. Now, John said he saw these individuals from every nation after this. Now, what did he see first? Now we're getting to the 144,000 first fruits prophecy. So the 144,000 are mentioned in two places in the book of Revelation. First, in the seven seals prophecy, in chapters 5 to chapter 8, verse 1. And here in chapter 7, we have the 144,000 mentioned for the first time. Listen and note that this is talking about those individuals who are literally at the physical location known as Israel, because they are descendants of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, of the 12 sons of Jacob. And why are they there, do you think? They're there to fight a war. It's no way possible for them to win the war, but they believe that the covenant that God made with Abraham is still in effect. They believe that when God said he would return, that they believe that the prophecy that their Messiah would come one day and would live in Jerusalem and rule from a temple, they believe that that prophecy is true. And they believe the scriptures in the Old Testament which say, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. So they're there because they are attempting to follow the word of God as they know it. It says in verse 4 of chapter 7, and I heard how many were marked with the seal of God. Now, how do they get the mark if they haven't received Jesus Christ yet? So picture this. Israel has been under attack for 3.5 years since the Antichrist stood in the third temple, which will be rebuilt on the Temple Mount, declaring that he is God and waging war against Israel. He will say, I'm here to bring peace on earth, and you know I can do it. This is what he'll say to the people of the world. I'm the Messiah you've been waiting for. I'm the Mahdi you've been waiting for. He will tell the leaders who are carrying out the sacrifices in the rebuilt temple to stop doing those animal sacrifices. And he will tell the world to get into agreement with his plan for world peace, which includes the destruction of Israel. And that ushers in a second Jewish Holocaust. This is horrible. This is horrible. But friend, every prophecy in the book of Revelation is sure to come to pass. Every prophecy in the word of God is sure to come to pass. So these 144,000, they are remaining there. They are those who are waging war against the troops of the Antichrist, the Ten Nation Alliance, their armies will travel by way of the dried up path of the Euphrates River into Israel for the purposes of annihilating the Jewish people and taking Israel off of the face of the earth. Of course, they will fail. They will fail. Now, what happens to these 144,000 who survive through year one of the Great Tribulation, through year two, through year three? Now the time, the appointed time is coming for the second coming of Jesus Christ, for the wrath of God, the final seven plagues, for the battle of Armageddon, the culmination of the wrath of God, the great winepress. Now, here's what happens in the seven seals prophecy. It tells us in verse 3. Let's start with verse 2. And I saw another angel, this is John speaking to us, coming up from the east, carrying the seal of the living God. And he shouted to those four angels who had been given power to harm land and sea, wait, don't harm the land or the sea or the trees until we have placed the seal of God on the foreheads of his servants. And I heard how many were marked with the seal of God. 144,000 were sealed from all the tribes of Israel, from Judah 12,000, from Reuben 12,000, from Gad 12,000, from Asher 12,000, from Naphtali 12,000, from Manasseh 12,000, from Simeon 12,000, from Levi 12,000, from Issachar 12,000, from Zebulun 12,000, from Joseph 12,000, from Benjamin 12,000. Then it continues, after this I saw a vast crowd. So we started with the after this, talking about, well, where is the church during the Great Tribulation? And we heard that from every tribe, nation, and language, and people of the earth, there will be those who are in Christ on the earth during the Great Tribulation who die. But to die, to experience the first death, is merely to fall asleep. Because all who die in Christ are resurrected at the time of the marriage of the Lamb, put on an incorruptible body, transition from mortality to immortality, go from being a disembodied spirit in heaven to an embodied spirit, embodied, three in one, the same soul, mind, will, and emotions, the same spirit, but in a new body. What kind of body? A body like the one Jesus Christ had when he became the firstborn of the dead, a tangible physical body suitable for living on this present earth and which can also function in the air and in heaven. So friend, why did we look at the seven seals prophecy before looking at the 144,000 first fruits prophecy? So we would be clear that in the book of Revelation, the 144,000 specifically is talking about biological Israel. And in fact, the promises in the Word of God that all Israel will be saved after the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ, it's true. During the Great Tribulation, that remnant, the 144,000 standing on Mount Zion in Israel, they will be saved. They will see the Messiah. They will receive him. And the mark of God, the seal of God, will be placed on their foreheads. You say, well, wait a minute, where does it say that? In verse 3 of chapter 7. Wait, don't harm the land or the sea or the trees until we have placed the seal of God on the foreheads of his servants. Okay, so in summary, in the seven seals prophecy, we see many things. In verses 3, in verses 3 to 14, there's a clear discussion, a report of what happens to biological Israel at the time of the return of Jesus Christ, how all Israel will be saved. And there's a report on what happened to those who are in the church, in Christ, the saints, who died during the Great Tribulation. Now, with that foundation, let's go right to the 144,000 first fruits prophecy. We want to talk about Revelation chapter 14. So in this chapter, just like chapter 7, we have a report that tells us about what happens to biological Israel that comes to Christ at the time of the second coming, and what happens to all who are in Christ at the time of the second coming. So we're talking about Israel and the church. So some who are in the church, we heard in chapter 7, will die before the second coming of Jesus Christ. And those individuals were told they came out of the Great Tribulation and John sees them. It's so many he can't count them. Now, the number of biological Israel is good. It's a great number, but it's not so many that he can't count. That number is enumerated, 144,000. But the number from the church, just from those who came out from the Great Tribulation, so not all the saints of all time, but just those who die during this 3.5-year period, that number was so great he couldn't count. Now, when we go further along in the book of Revelation, another report is given. Let's first hear about what happens to those who are in Christ, the church. So not talking about biological Israel. So we're coming back to the 144,000. They're discussed first in chapter 14. But so that we're clear that we do not make the mistake of engaging in replacement theology. So some people, in an earnest desire to find themselves in the book of Revelation, to find themselves in the New Testament, have replaced their ethnic group or the church with Israel. And we've been talking about that this month. Replacement theology is alive from the pits of hell. It's not Bible-based, friend. Israel has not been replaced by the church. Israel has not been replaced by ethnic groups of a particular color or background. The descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, their descendants are discussed in the book of Revelation for the purposes of describing those individuals who will be saved from that seed at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. It fulfills the prophecy in Romans chapter 11. Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ. And so all Israel will be saved. So in chapter 14, we hear about the harvest. We hear about what happens when God gets his forever family, the marriage of the Lamb. So this is when those who have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life transition from mortality to immortality. Let's see in verse 6. So, you know, repeatedly in Scripture, we're told about how in the end, the wheat will be separated from the weeds. Some scriptures say the wheat will be separated from the tares. Ultimately, there are two groups of people, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life and those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those who are the sheep and those who are the goats. Those who are Team Jesus and those who are Team Satan. Those who will be resurrected for eternal life and those who will be resurrected to eternal damnation. Those who will spend eternity on the new earth and those who will spend eternity in the lake of fire. There are only two groups. If you are under the sound of my voice, you have time to make a decision as a truth seeker. You have time to decide which group do you want to belong to. Now, let's hear about what happens to these different groups. At the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ, there will be individuals on the earth. Some of us will be Team Jesus, and some of us will be Team Satan. So in verse 6 of chapter 14, we hear the earth-reaped prophecy, the beginning of it. It ends with verse 20. Let's hear what happens at the time of the second coming. What happens to all of the people on the earth who are not part of biological Israel, not standing there on Mount Zion? What happens to the rest of the world at the time of the second coming? Let's hear that. In verse 6 of chapter 14, it says, "And I saw another angel flying through the sky, carrying the eternal good news to proclaim to the people of God who belong to this world, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. Fear God," he shouted. "Give glory to him, for the time has come when he will sit as judge. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all the springs of water." So it tells us here the time has come. Now, what all is included in this time? Let's continue. It says, "Then another angel followed him through the sky, shouting, 'Babylon is fallen, that great city is fallen, because she has made all the nations of the world drink the wine of her passionate immorality.'" So many things happen at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Babylon comes under the judgment of God. What else happens? "Then a third angel followed them, shouting, 'Anyone who worships the beast and his statue or who accepts his mark on the forehead or on the hand must drink the wine of God's anger. It has been poured full strength into God's cup of wrath, and they will be tormented with fire and burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb." Now, this is taking us over a long period of time. So this is telling us every person who took the mark of the beast during the Great Tribulation ultimately will be resurrected to, at the time of the great white throne judgment, and will be sentenced. And that sentence will be eternal damnation, a sentence of life for the eternities of eternities. Where? In the lake of fire. So when does all this begin? It begins with the second coming of Jesus Christ. So we're told here in this prophecy many things happen. Babylon, that city, is judged, and it's fallen, it's destroyed. Everyone who has had the mark of the beast and it's on his or her forehead or hand during the Great Tribulation, their time is up. Then it also tells us this means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently, obeying his commands and maintaining their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this down. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they are blessed indeed, for they will rest from their hard work, for their good deeds follow them. Now, what about, so that's telling us many things that will happen. What about the people on the earth? In verse 14, who are in Christ, it says, then I saw a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man. He had a gold crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came from the temple and shouted to the one sitting on the cloud, swing the sickle, for the time of harvest has come. The crop on earth is ripe. So at the beginning, we heard the movie trailer in words. Now we're getting the full report, and we find out what actually happens at the second coming of Jesus Christ. We get more details. We go from the movie trailer to the full movie. And the first thing we're told is that the time of the harvest has come. And it says the whole earth was harvested. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means that every person who is a sheep, every person who is among the wheat, transitions from mortality to immortality in the twinkling of an eye. So remember, we're told in the epistles that not all will fall asleep. There's a group of people, those of us who are alive at the time of the second coming and who are in Christ, we will be harvested. We will transition from our mortal bodies to our immortal bodies. Those who are already in Christ, disembodied, living in heaven, those who died in the Great Tribulation before us, those who died and who are in heaven before the Great Tribulation, they will put on their incorruptible bodies first, and then shortly thereafter we'll put on ours. And that's what it means when it says the whole earth was harvested. Now, what happens after the people of God transition from mortality to immortality? It says in verse 17, after that, another angel came from the temple in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel who had power to destroy with fire came from the altar. He shouted to the angel with the sharp sickle, swing your sickle now to gather the clusters of grapes from the vines of the earth, for they are ripe for judgment. Now, who are the grapes from the vines of the earth? The grapes from the vines of the earth are the tares. Remember, there's the wheat and the tares. In some translations, it says the wheat and the weeds. These are the weeds. These are the goats. So Kirk Franklin was saying, which is not true, but he said recently at the BET Awards that the lion and the lamb will bow down to the goat. That's a lie from the pits of hell. The goats are everyone who's team Satan. So what happens to those who are team Satan? In the Bible, they're referred to as the goats, the tares, the weeds, and now here in the earth reaped prophecy in Revelation chapter 14 as the clusters of grapes from the vines of the earth. Well, what happens is that they are judged. Let's hear how that happens. Continuing on in chapter 19, it says, so the angel swung his sickle over the earth and loaded the grapes into the great winepress of God's wrath. So the wheat is harvested. All those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life transition from mortality to immortality at the time of the second coming. Talking about those of us who remain on the earth, and we're here at the time of the second coming, what happens? So every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, part of the earth's crop, transitions from mortality to immortality. And then those who are a part of the clusters of the grapes, they are ripe for judgment. And what happens? They experience God's wrath. It says the grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city. Now we're talking about what's happening in Jerusalem. And the blood flowed from the winepress in a stream about 180 miles long and as high as a horse's bridle. Now, why are we talking about Israel again? Chapter 14 begins with Israel and it ends with Israel. Why? At the time of the second coming, Jesus Christ returns to a specific location on this present earth. That location is Israel. And he's coming for a specific purpose, explained in Revelation chapter 19. He's coming for the purposes of waging a war of righteousness. He comes with the troops of heaven, the armies of heaven, to fight the battle that biological Israel has been fighting. They've been fighting and losing. They've been fighting and losing. And so at the end, it looks like they're about to lose. It looks like they're going to be destroyed. It looks like the Antichrist and the kings of the earth are finally going to destroy Israel. That's been their aim for 3.5 years, and it looks like they're about to get victory. But Jesus snatches the victory from the Antichrist. How does that happen? He descends from heaven on a white horse. And he's followed by the armies of heaven. And he brings with him weapons, two weapons. One is a sword. He fights and wins the Battle of Armageddon. Now, when he gets here, those who were fighting the war and losing, but they stayed. Why? They believed that that land promised to their forefathers by God, they believed that that covenant was real and that it remained in effect and that God is not a man that he should lie. And so these people, they are part of the harvest. Now, in the same way, in Revelation chapter 7, we see God describe what happens to those who are biological Israel fighting in Israel at the time of the second coming. We're told who they are. And now, in Revelation 14, we get more information. Let's hear that 144,000 first fruits prophecy. It's Revelation verse 1 to verse 5 of chapter 14. So this tells us more about the 144,000 described in the seven seals prophecy. Then I saw the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him were 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. Now, we learned earlier in the seven seals prophecy that they have their names written on their foreheads because now they are saved. They are in Christ. At the end, after all the Gentiles have come in, right at the end, those who are there, they're at a specific location, not Washington, D.C., not Sydney, Australia, not Lagos, Nigeria. Those who are there in Israel awaiting what they believe is likely to be their death unless their Messiah rescues them. And you know what? He does. He comes, and now that he has come to fight and win the Battle of Armageddon on their behalf, chapter 14 begins with that. Then I saw the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him were 144,000. These are not the saints from the other nations. These are those who are part of biological Israel. In Israel at the time of the second coming, why are they there? They're there to fight for the right of the temple to exist and for Jews to exist in Israel on the land that God promised. And it says, and with him were 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. So when they see Jesus and that he has returned to fight this battle for them, they receive him and they get saved. Hallelujah. That's described in the Seven Seals prophecy. Now, what else about what happens to these 144,000? We're told, and I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of mighty ocean waves or the rolling of loud thunder. It was like the sound of many harpists playing together. Okay, so it's a joyous time. This great choir sang a wonderful new song in front of the throne of God and before the four living beings and the 24 elders. No one could learn this song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. So chapter 14 has this 144,000 first fruits prophecy. It has the earth reaped prophecy. It's talking about those who are redeemed from the earth at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And this is a joyous time. Hundreds of years earlier, it was prophesied that after the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ in Romans chapter 11, all Israel will be saved. And now here it is, that day. Here it is, that day. All 144,000 at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ, they receive him, so they get the mark of God on their foreheads. It says right here, and now Jesus is standing. The Lamb is standing with them on Mount Zion in Israel. It says, and with him were 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. So this is a joyous occasion. Finally, these first fruits have come in. So God was eager, it said their hearts were hardened, but he was eager to graft back in the original branch. So the Gentiles were the wild olive branch, but biological Israel is the original branch, and now they're grafted back in at the end. This is prophesied in the Bible, and finally, this day, when it comes, it's exciting. There's a choir singing a new song before the throne of God. And these 144,000, they're singing this song. And then we're given a description that they've kept themselves pure as virgins. What does that mean? They didn't practice astrology. They didn't worship a moon god or a sun god or many gods. Now they're following the Lamb. Who are they following? Now they're following Jesus. Wherever he goes, they've received him as their Messiah. And what about them? It says they have been purchased from among the people on the earth as a special offering to God and to the Lamb. They have told no lies. They are without blame. So that is terrific. Now what did we hear? The harvest includes, at the time of the second coming, those who are present, they have survived the great tribulation. So again, we could talk about those who died during the great tribulation or before, and we've done that, and now we're talking about what happens to those who are here on the earth at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. All Israel will be saved. So that's in Revelation chapter 7. It's in Romans chapter 11, Revelation chapter 7, and Revelation chapter 14. And we hear, well, who's all Israel that's going to be saved? These 144,000. There's one group that says, oh, if you're in our religion, you're part of the 144,000. Friend, if you are not on Mount Zion fighting to defend that land at the time of the second coming, you're not in that 144,000. Don't be mad at me because I'm preaching the Word of God. Don't be mad at me because I'm reading what the Word says. Now, friend, it doesn't matter whether you're a part of the 144,000. So whether you are among the first fruits or whether you are part of earth's crop. So they're the first fruits, there's earth's crop, and they're the clusters of grapes from the vine. As long as you are not Team Satan, as long as you are not among those who have the mark of the beast, and where are they going to be? So, you know, this chapter ends. We're talking about blood, 180 miles long. And sometimes people get confused by this. We have to understand that the Battle of Armageddon, it's limited to a specific location, Israel. So it's no way possible God is through with Israel and only interested in the church, this replacement theology notion. It's no way possible because he comes back to Israel at the time of the Battle of Armageddon. And this 180 miles long of blood flowing from the wine press is what happens when God's wrath is unleashed and the enemies of Israel, who are therefore the enemies of God, they are defeated with the weapons of God waged by Jesus Christ and the troops of heaven. That's described in Revelation chapter 19. And the carnage, the bodies of these individuals, the bodies of the horses that they are on, all that is there across 180 miles. You say, this is gruesome. I don't want to hear this. We want to hear it because this is the final war. This is the war to end all wars. There will never, ever be another war on this present earth or the new earth to come after the Battle of Armageddon. Because when the Battle of Armageddon is fought and won, the government of Jesus Christ commences, it begins, and it's 1,000 years, a transition period. And at the end of that period, there's the great white throne judgment. And at the end of that period, after all five enemies of God are destroyed, we transition to the new earth. And so we should look forward to the time when God, Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, we should look forward to the time when he begins to permanently destroy the enemies of God through God's strategy for destroying evil, which is the second death, the lake of fire. That's defined for us in Revelation chapter 20. So what did we learn in chapter 14? There are two prophecies, the 144,000 first fruits prophecy and the earth reaped prophecy. We find out what happens to different groups of peoples who are on the earth at the time of the Great Tribulation. So not only is the church here during the Great Tribulation, there will be a number of saints so great to count. They're so great that John can't even count them. And they experienced the first death. They died during the Great Tribulation. Beyond that, there are those who are in Christ who survived the Great Tribulation. That's described in the epistles where we're told, hey, I have a secret. I want to tell you, not all of us are going to fall asleep, meaning not all of us will experience death. Some of us are going to just transition in the twinkling of an eye from mortality to immortality. Well, who's that? Those of us who are here, those of us whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life and who are alive at the time of the second coming. So in chapter 14, there are the first fruits, biological Israel, fighting a war against the armies of the 10-nation alliance led by the Antichrist, working in tandem with the false prophet and the kings of the earth to destroy Israel in a second Jewish Holocaust. They will not be successful. In fact, the Antichrist and the false prophet will go to their permanent end, the second death. That's described in Revelation chapter 19 at the end of the chapter. But before they are destroyed, the Antichrist will lead those armies. And so Israel, small in number, how many are there? 144,000. We're back to the beginning. David and Goliath, 144,000 against the armies of the Ten Nation Alliance, as is described in Revelation chapter 19. Let's look at that. They are many, but they are there fighting, believing God that he's not a man that he should lie. And when we look at this, when we go to Revelation chapter 19, verse 19, it says, "Then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies," with an S, "gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army." So this is a picture of what is happening in Israel, that physical location. The 144,000 were there. They are there. They are the first fruits. They are saved. They receive Jesus Christ, and they receive as a part of their salvation the mark of God, not the mark of the beast. Where does it go? On their forehead. And they're the first fruits. They transition from mortality to immortality. Again, in Romans chapter 11, it tells us that this would happen. "Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ." So no more Gentiles come to Christ after the second coming. So at that point, either your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life as a Gentile or it wasn't. Either it was or it wasn't. So that's when the full number comes in. So now the first fruits have been harvested. They've been redeemed. And earth's crop, that's all of the Gentiles who are not a part of biological Israel, all of the saints who are alive at the time of the second coming, we've transitioned from mortality to immortality. That's the marriage of the Lamb. After the marriage of the Lamb, but in that same timing, after the marriage of the Lamb is the marriage supper. In verse 17 of chapter 19, it says, "Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, shouting to the vultures flying high in the sky, 'Come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared. Come and eat the flesh of kings, generals and strong warriors, of horses and their riders, and of all humanity, both free and slave, small and great.' Then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army." Now, you might say, this isn't the marriage supper I've heard of. I thought we were going to eat steak and tacos and macaroni and cheese. We're celebrating because Jesus has returned. The Bible says that the marriage supper, the marriage banquet, is not for the saints, but for the vultures. They say, wait a minute, research scientists, that doesn't sound right to me. Let's hear where it is in the Bible. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 17, it says, "Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, shouting to the vultures flying high in the sky, 'Come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared. Come and eat the flesh of kings, generals, and strong warriors, of horses and their riders, and of all humanity, both free and slave, small and great. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army. This is the Battle of Armageddon in Israel. And Jesus Christ is about to win this battle. And there is a strategy to clean up the 180 miles of blood that includes the corpses of all of those who were in the armies of the Ten Nation Alliance. Now, who does it include? It tells us in verse 18, kings, generals, strong warriors, horses, riders, all humanity, free and slave, small and great. Now, you might say, all humanity, but wouldn't that include us? No, it wouldn't, because the marriage supper happens after the marriage. So the marriage of the Lamb is the resurrection. It is when we transition, when we are resurrected to eternal life. We transition from mortality to immortality. We put on our incorruptible bodies, which we will dwell in forever and ever, for the eternities of eternities, on the present earth and the new earth to come. So now this is after we are members of the royal race. After we are three in one, as Adam and Eve were before the fall, we will have our perfect DNA. Peak performance bodies. If you want to run like the wind, you'll be able to. Maybe you say, well, I was born with only one hand. I've always wanted to play the piano with both hands, but it's never happened. Friend, when you get your perfected, glorified body, you'll do everything you ever wanted to do in a physical body. You won't have back pain. You'll have perfect vision. You'll have a body that will never decay. It'll be free from the curse. Now, this is cause to celebrate. Now, after we are in our perfected bodies, after the harvest, after the marriage of the Lamb, there's the marriage supper. So we're talking about this because when we look at chapter 14 and the 144,000 first fruits prophecy and the earth reap prophecy, it begins with talking about the marriage that includes the part of Israel where it was prophesied that at the end, all Israel will be saved. And at the end of chapter 14, it also talks about 180 miles of blood. Let's go to that. At the end of Revelation 14, we heard that earlier, the earth reap prophecy describing how those who are in Christ and on the earth will transition from mortality to immortality, saying that we'll be separated from the weeds, from the goats, from the tares who are going to experience the wrath of God. And it said at the end of chapter 14, the grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city. Let's hear that again, the grapes. Now remember, the clusters of the grapes, that's the same as the tares, that's the same as the wheat, that's the same as the goats. It's every person who's team Satan at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ who's on the earth. Now remember, the Battle of Armageddon is not worldwide, okay? So when we look at this, if you're in New York at the time of the Battle of Armageddon, or you're in Washington, D.C., or you're in Tokyo, or you're in Lisbon, the Battle of Armageddon is not where you are. The Battle of Armageddon will be fought and won in Israel. Specifically in Israel, what will happen? Those who have the mark of the beast, the grapes. So this is telling us specifically about those who are part of the marriage supper. Now think about this, friend. You may have heard that the marriage supper is for the purposes of the saints to enjoy fellowship with Jesus and have a great meal. The marriage supper is for the purposes of those who are Team Satan to be eradicated from the earth. So not only do they experience the first death, right? So they die at the hands of Jesus Christ and the armies of God. And the vultures were told before Jesus even fights, before the war starts, the vultures are told, come, come and gather yourselves to feast on the flesh of kings and armies and generals. Let's hear that again. So Revelation chapter 19 and Revelation 14 are coinciding here. So at the end of Revelation 19, talking about the marriage supper, they're advised, come and eat the flesh of kings, generals, and strong warriors, of horses and their riders, and of all humanity, both free and slave, small and great. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army. Now, where are they gathered? They're gathered in Israel. So what happens here at verse 14, in the context of talking about how the earth is reaped, what really happens at the time of the second coming, we're told that part of the reaping of the earth is all who are Team Satan fighting against Israel, who bear the mark of the beast, who are there to take out biological Israel, that they will be destroyed. And this destruction is described as a wine press. It says that they are ripe for judgment and that they will go through the great wine press of God's wrath. Now what happens? Blood flows. How much blood? 180 miles long and as high as a horse's bridle. You say, that sounds horrific. Agreed. Agreed. Now, we're not told here in the marriage supper prophecy or in the earth reap prophecy in Revelation chapter 19 or chapter 14 how many are in the armies of the Antichrist, but you can imagine a 10-nation alliance, right? So this will be the beast that dominates economic and political affairs. During the Great Tribulation, it'll grow in power and dominion as the Great Tribulation continues. It'll pick up speed. Friend, it is likely that there will be tens, if not hundreds of millions in this army. And so if all of these individuals lose their lives, and they do, we can understand how it gets to 180 miles of carnage. What's included in the carnage? Well, we're told in Revelation 19, it's the flesh of kings, generals, strong warriors, horses, riders, all humanity, free and slave, small and great. These are the people who had the mark of the beast, who are Team Satan, Team Antichrist at the end. So, friend, what is the take-home point for us? The 144,000 is the fulfilling of the prophecy in Romans chapter 11, where it says, and so all Israel will be saved. Now, when did this happen? We're told in verse 25, I want you to understand this mystery. So the purpose of this program on PGN is to unlock the secrets in the book of Revelation. How? God giving us that information, that intelligence. It's beyond human wisdom. God has to reveal it to us. And it says here in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, I want you to understand this mystery, dear brothers and sisters, so that you will not feel proud about yourselves. Some of the people of Israel have hard hearts, but this will last only until the full number of Gentiles comes to Christ. Now, think about this. We're super excited for the upcoming confirmation of the covenant. Now, what is that going to be? That will be where a peace treaty is signed. It will give the green light for Israel, who's been waiting nearly 2,000 years, to rebuild its temple. It'll be the third temple on the Temple Mount. That is coming. When that green light happens, the temple will be rebuilt and they will begin to worship as they did before. Part of their worship will be making sacrifices. What kind of sacrifices? Animal sacrifices. Now, why are they sacrificing animals? For the sins of the people and their own sins. Sin separates us from God. And although the sacrificing of animals, it was just a type and shadow. As we're told in the epistles, if those sacrifices were sufficient, they wouldn't need to do them every day and then have a special sacrifice that they do once a year. If those sacrifices were truly sufficient to bring them into right standing with God, they wouldn't have to do them over and over and over again. So they were simply a type and shadow. However, there are those who had a hardened heart, and they did not receive the good news. But God is eager to graft them back in, and we're excited to see it come to pass. And so, all Israel will be saved, and that happens at the second coming of Jesus Christ, the 144,000 first fruits. They are from the first branch. We are the wild olive branch if we are part of the Gentiles. Those who are there fighting in Israel at the time of the second coming, because they are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they are part of the original branch. And so they will be the first fruits, and we will be among the earth's crop. But all whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be members of the royal race, will rule and reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years, beginning with the establishment of his government. And that's something to look forward to, friend. It says in Isaiah chapter 9, talking about Jesus Christ, and of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. And so although we contemplate, although we consider the realities of the coming sixth trumpet war, the realities of the coming of the Battle of Armageddon, we know that peace is on the horizon. But first, there's the wrath of Satan, which is the great tribulation. It will only last for a known period of time, specifically 42 months, which is the same as 1,260 days. That's 42 30-day months. That's the same as 3.5 years. So there's a 7-year period, but the Great Tribulation itself is limited to 3.5 years. The wrath of Satan, which emerges through the Antichrist and the 10-nation alliance he will lead, and the false prophet who will work in tandem with the Antichrist, they will enact the wrath of Satan. And in Revelation chapter 12, what happens to Israel during that time is described. It's a war on Israel. And in Revelation 13, what happens to the church, and an instruction for us, the saints, is in Revelation, the middle of Revelation chapter 13. So if you say, if someone says to you, well, the church is not mentioned in the book of Revelation, only Israel. We've talked about it today several places, but another place is Revelation chapter 13. And so we're excited that beyond the great tribulation is the second coming of Jesus Christ. Those events include our transition from mortality to immortality. They include Jesus waging and winning a war in righteousness. That's the Battle of Armageddon. And those transitioning from mortality to immortality will include the 144,000 first fruits, as well as the earth's crop, which will include the wheat, also known as the sheep, also known as those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So, friend, contrary to what the song said and the one person said in the last few weeks, the lamb and the lion will not bow down to the goats. The goats are Team Satan, the children of Satan, and all who are in Christ are Team Jesus, and every knee will bow at the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee, every knee. Friend, I hope that you have been encouraged by hearing the realities of the coming peace. The coming peace, a world with peace forever and ever, the government of Jesus Christ, which will begin upon his winning the Battle of Armageddon. He will establish his government. That's described in Revelation chapter 20. It will last 1,000 years. At the end of that 1,000 years, the final enemies of God, the last three will be taken out. The devil will be destroyed. All who are the children of the devil will also experience his same fate after the great white throne judgment. And finally, the last enemy, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26, the last enemy he, Jesus Christ, destroys will be death. So if you've ever experienced grief, sorrow, pain, mourning, suffering, there's coming an end to that. There's coming an end. There's an end date to death. There's an end date to sorrow. There's an end date to tears. There's an end date to grief. And we look forward to that, knowing that every prophecy in the book of Revelation is sure to come to pass. Thank you for being with me, friend. Until next time, God bless you and take care. Thank you for being with us. Please join us again on Sunday when we will continue discussion of the book of Revelation at 12 noon Central Time. That's 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you so much for being with us again. Take care.